When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Going to be joined on that Fan Hotline momentarily by Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I think Pony Muller asked this question yesterday. I was going to ask it today. I'll still ask it today. We will not let them determine what we do on our Here radio program, Doran. The Browns really a rival?
Rival's only a thing if both sides are basically equal. A rival's only a rival if it's back and forth, wins and losses. No, they're not a rival. Well, I think we should find a different word for it.
I could not agree more, because I find myself really disliking them. And maybe even so far as saying I sports hate them, Doran, because of Myles Garrett, because of the way he talked, what is going on. He drives me nuts. Their fans drive me nuts. Everything on social media comes back to beating Ben in the playoffs, comes back to, oh, you're 1-5-1 in Cleveland the last 7 weeks. It is their Super Bowl, and that annoys me. They're like, it's like a hot summer day, and they're the mosquitoes. Or it's a hot summer evening, and you got mosquitoes. That's what they are to me, and I hate them. Get off me.
I think I might have found the perfect word for the Browns and Steelers. They're the Steelers' enemy.
They are enemy.
Yes.
Yes.
They're not a rival. They're the enemy.
The Ravens are a rival, but the Patriots probably looked at the Steelers with Brady as an enemy, not a rival.
Yes.
Like, we all around here, we might even have hated the Patriots more at that time than the Ravens. They probably didn't think much about the Steelers at all. We were just the next opponent that they're going to beat on their way to greatness. Speaking of great, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joins us now. Chris, good morning to you. How are you today?
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good.
Oh, we are excellent. All right, Steelers-Browns, round two. Round one, Steelers tried to run the ball a lot. Steelers stuck in the mud, got off to a bad start, missed a field goal, went for it on a couple fourth downs, some weird stuff going on. What kind of style game do you expect to see on Sunday, Chris? Is it going to be one of those rock fights, or do you think it'll look maybe not quite Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, but more in line with that kind of game script?
I do think the Steelers are going to be a bit more aggressive in this game. This isn't going to be the short week. This has been a full week of practice that they've had. I think they'll have learned from some of the things that they did. I think one of the things that I looked at the last game, they sort of realized a little late in the game, like, hey, they cannot guard Pat Freiermuth. If Greg Neuse has been on him, Pat Freiermuth's just bullying him off the line. If Devin Bush is on him, good luck guarding him. And I think that Russell Wilson last week showed you that he can – hit everyone in the Steelers offense except Mike Williams right now. He can hit everyone in the Steelers offense, and they can move the ball. And if the Browns come out as aggressive against the run as they did in that game, and aggressive and just trying to take away George Pickens, there's going to be some really good one-on-one opportunities in the passing game. And if they hit them the way that they did against the Bengals, this Browns defense is not what it was last year, the year before. they can feed off momentum and play really aggressively, but if they make a few mistakes early, they start to compound those mistakes. They are really inconsistent once that happens, and that's where what the Steelers have to do. They have to start fast. They have to hit a couple of these early passes, even if, like last week, there's some simple checkdowns where it's just, hey, your guy versus their guy in space. You make a guy miss, it gets, you know, it turns a 2 yard gain into an 8 yard gain, and then you're moving the ball, and then eventually you do that enough. The defense is going to have to try to collapse on that, and that's going to open up more of those one-on-one opportunities you want for Pickens and other guys deeper down the field.
Chris, who do you think will look better aesthetically, Joey Porter Jr. or George Pickens?
Look better aesthetically? What do you mean by that?
Like Joey Porter Jr. had five penalties.
Mm-hmm.
George Pickens had the unsportsmanlike. Like, who will look better in that realm? Like, I mean, not necessarily making plays, but who will have a better week from what happened last week to both of those guys?
Oh, okay, I got you. I think it's going to be Pickens. I think one thing you saw last week when he was sort of crashing out after that pick six because he was thrown down by his helmet. You saw in the Hard Knocks episode, Mike Tomlin pull him to the side and be like, "Hey, I need you to lock back in." And he did respond initially and, you know, locked back in, got a touchdown, still goofed off later in the game. But I think you saw the accumulation of he's getting very frustrated with how teams are playing him. Like in that Browns game, you know, he had a touchdown that was robbed of him when he was like running down the field and the corner just tripped and armbarred him on that third and four when Justin Fields threw what I thought was a decent ball. The guy just shoved him down and it didn't matter. And then on the Hail Mary pass, he was trying to post up for the Hail Mary and Greg Newsom just dragged him out of bounds and then threw him against the wall. And everyone's like, wow, look at George Pickens being like fighting there. And it's like, well, yeah, he's fighting because he got pulled out of bounds on what could have been the game winning play, and no one said anything. And so I think that's where George, if he comes back in this game and he keeps his head and he's able to make a couple plays, and he shows like, hey, you know, all that stuff that you guys are doing, they're gonna be physical again in this game. But if he shows that he can counteract that better and do that, I think it's gonna go over really well. And if he even gets a touchdown in like 80 yards in this game, there's going to be a lot of talk, and I think it's going to – you saw how crazy kind of Greg Newsom was getting at the end of the game. I think you could see a little bit more of that from this game because these two teams really don't like each other.
Mike Tomlin wouldn't give Brooke Pryor what she was looking for and what a lot of us were looking for in the Tuesday press conference regarding George Pickens. But after the game against Cincinnati, he said that George needs to grow up. How big of an issue or distraction is George Pickens in your mind?
I mean, here's the thing. George on the field, if you just take away the things that you know that they're looking for, like, you know, when he's pointing for the first down and he cocks it like the gun, you get the penalty doing it that way. And it's like, yeah, sure, you could say, you know, other guys do that and get away with it. But George has to know they're looking for it. Just like Joey Porter has to know, they're looking for him to be handsy. And so I think that's the thing is when it's happening on the field and it's hurting the team and when Broderick Jones is coming to you and being like, hey, buddy, you got it. We need you to keep your head. That's what it is. And I think what the big thing is about it is that George Pickens might be the best weapon they have on offense. You know, when you think about, you know, Najee Harris, you think about Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens is the most dynamic player. If he's out, if he's not focused, if he's too, out of his mind because he's frustrated, that's going to hurt everything else because they need him to be that guy. It is a problem if he lets that get to him. But at the same time, his passion is part of what makes him so dangerous is that he can turn a short gain into a big play like he did on that screen pass where, you know, I thought it was a well-drawn-up play, but there were like two dudes that had a good shot at him, and he just made it not matter. And it's just a weird ability that he has after the catch. So you add that with his ability to go up and get the football, he's a dynamic weapon. He's one of the best receivers in this game. But when he's off, it's going to limit this offense the way it's structured. So it is a big problem. And I think Mike Tomlin over the years has addressed it, but it seems like every time he addresses it, he gets a good initial response. Like last week, he talked to him after that pick six, comes back, gets the touchdown, but then he has those penalties later in the game. Last year, if you remember, the Colts game where he doesn't block for Jaylen Warren, Mike Tomlin talks to him after that game. After that, what do you see him? He's blocking downfield for Jaylen Warren. He's being that more consistent guy. Mike Tomlin needs him to embrace the mess that he keeps giving him and hold on to it and not have to keep readdressing it and readdressing it. And that's only on George Pickens. So that's what, that's going to determine, hey, what kind of receiver do you want to be in this league? Do you want to be the playmaker who's mature and knows how people are trying to get to him? Or you want to be the hothead playmaker that can be very temperamental at times? And one, I think, gets paid a little bit better. The other one might have a few more questions.
Here's a simple but not so simple question for you. And I've been wrestling, I've been wrestling with this for years. Is Jameis Winston good?
Yes, he's good. Yeah, like that's the thing. I think people need to adjust their meter for what good is. I'm not saying you, Dorn, but there's a lot of people out there that think if you're not Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, you're bad. And it's like, no, those guys are great. Like, those guys are doing amazing things. Those are Hall of Fame caliber guys. Jameis Winston isn't that, but he's a good player. He makes good plays. Part of what happens in the NFL is You, if you're a gunslinger the way he is, the way Ben Roethlisberger was, you're going to get shot sometimes. You're going to get hit. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to turn the ball over. And that's what Jameis Winston does. But at the same time, he gives his team so many chances to make plays because he's willing to keep the play alive. He's willing to throw the ball down the field and take those chances. And with the right team, I think he could be very dangerous. And if you surround him with the right weapons, if you give him a really good offensive line and a good defense, like Jameis Winston on the Steelers would be actually really interesting to see how that would play out.
Mike Tomlin would murder him.
Oh my God, yeah. Mike Tomlin would be like, don't you ever turn the ball over. But at the same time, if they were able to like limit the scope of how often he'd be that aggressive, it'd be interesting to see how that would work out for them. But yes, he is a good player, but he also has like most good players, he still has weaknesses. And you have to pick at those weaknesses to turn that good player into having a bad day.
You ready for some rapid fire one word answers?
Let's go.
Does Joey Porter Jr. follow Jerry Jeudy?
No.
More sacks, Watt or Garrett?
Watt.
More snaps, Herbig or Highsmith?
Highsmith.
Does Minka Fitzpatrick pick off Jameis? The guy who throws him v. the guy who should get him. Let's go. Carter, this was fun. It's always fun. Appreciate your time, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. We got some dude just chirping on Twitter, on the text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's kind of funny coming from a group of guys that think Pitt and Penn State should be rivals that you don't think that the Browns are a rival. Quick math. Penn State is 9 games over .500 against Pitt. 9. And they've played 100 times. The Browns have won 11 games against the Steelers in 25 years. 11-39-1 against the Steelers since 99. They're not the same thing. It's not apples to oranges. No. That's a false equivalency. So now I've asked this question on Twitter. We'll react to some of what Carter had to say. But here's what I asked on Twitter. Give us a word to describe how you feel about the Cleveland Browns. Although I typed give us word to describe how you feel about the Cleveland Browns. Damn it. Do I delete it? People get it.
Yeah, they get it.
One word to describe how you feel about the Browns. 412-928-9370. Give us a ring. Give us a tweet. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll get to that a little bit coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind Enemy Lines coming up in the next segment with Browns expert from The Athletic, Zach Jackson. Behind Enemy Lines brought to you by Monster Brewing. But now we're asking for one word to describe the Browns, because we've said rivalry doesn't do it. They're 11-39-1 against the Steelers since they came back into the league. So rivalry, that doesn't do it. They haven't won in Pittsburgh in the regular season since 1999. Browns haven't swept the Steelers in a season since 1988, so they can't be a rival. It doesn't fit. Now, you've gone there and lost 5 of your last 7 times in Cleveland. I still don't think that makes it a rivalry. So we've asked for your word, and we got this from Chad on Twitter. Did you see this? Chad asked ChatGPT a word that could describe a rival who is below you and rarely wins. And here's what ChatGPT came up with. Underdog, though it typically carries a sympathetic connotation. If you're looking for something more neutral or slightly condescending, you might use subordinate rival or second-rate competitor. Informally, terms like scrub or pushover could fit, though they might be perceived as derogatory. All right, so we're barking up the right tree there. In a heated sports context, you might refer to such a rival as a loser, chump, jobber, also ran, has been, wannabe, or punching bag. I like all those.
Yeah.
Callis said one word to describe him would be uneasy. He's uneasy about this. That wouldn't be describing them. I guess that would be describing how you feel about them.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the word terrible, then, if we're going in that context.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Jim from Omaha texts in Jagoff. They are Jagoffs.
Yeah.
I don't like them, but I'm not afraid of them in this game.
In any game, really. I mean, even the games that they've won, were you ever afraid of them?
No, the last two really pissed me off. The last two losses to them in Cleveland. One of them, actually led to something great, which was the Canada firing. That was the DTR loss. And then this one on Thursday a couple of weeks ago was just, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. You've got the ball with the chance to put it away, and Justin Fields throws a pass that goes incomplete. How much Justin Fields do you think we see in this game?
Not much.
I am with you.
Not much.
It worked for the Steelers at the end of the Cincinnati game. It worked for them at the end of the Ravens game. Didn't work for them at the end of the Browns game. Going in, it seemed like a good idea because Taysom Hill had, what, 7 carries for 138 yards? And he really just was maybe the reason why the Saints won that game. Russ is playing at an MVP caliber level. Don't get too cute. You got too cute in that game. Honestly, you can make an argument that they cost them the game. That was tight. You fail on a fourth down because you rush them out there late, and it doesn't seem like you got your P's and Q's all together, and it cost you a first down. End of the game, he throws the ball to Pickens. Reasonable people can argue about whether or not that was a good idea, but it didn't work. So I don't think you get too cute.
I'm going to say that you only see Justin Fields if they absolutely blow them out and Justin Fields goes in as the backup quarterback. Other than that, you won't see him at all.
I mean, I'm okay, like, time at time, low red zone. But even that, like, I don't think you need to do it.
Mm-mm.
You don't need to do it. And the zone read that won you the game and kept Cincinnati off the field at the end on, what, 3rd and 4? It worked. Hooray. Do you have more of a chance of that working than Russell Wilson dropping back and throwing it on 3rd and 4? I don't know. Probably not. Texter, stepchild. Well, we got to get away from stepchild being a negative and derogatory.
Right.
So a lot of great stepchildren out there.
A lot, yeah.
A lot of great step-parents out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you call him little brother. I don't know. I don't know if that's...
I don't know. Enemy, they're not a rival.
Enemy's good.
Yeah.
Enemy's good. Because you don't like them. I don't like their fans. They talk a lot of crap for having accomplished very little in 25 years. Texter, Yinz all cried for Fields. Yeah, now I'm saying don't use him. Back when the red zone offense was bad, you're looking for solutions. They played a Browns team that had just gotten worked by Taysom Hill. You've got your own super athletic quarterback. It made sense to call for it at the time. And then you watch 2 games. Times change, and now I'm saying don't use Justin Fields.
Yes.
And if it comes down to needing Justin Fields to salt the game away like you have the last 3 games, you probably played with your food too much in this one. Like, leave no doubt in this football game. It should not come down to, oh boy, you don't want to give Jameis the ball back. Are you concerned about the defense closing out games, though? It's like, overall.
No, I'm not. I mean, you're going to have to do that against good quarterbacks, and I think they did do that. I mean, at the end of the day, they did do that against Joe Burrow. And I know that team is that team, but Joe Burrow's been playing very well. He did make a push to come back, but I think they can get better from here on out doing that. Like we said, like this game, I think the Steelers are going to go in there and they're going to take care of business. I think the truest test all season is next week. We'll see how on all 3 cylinders how everything works. Offense, defense, special teams against a really, really good, high-powered, high-confident Philadelphia Eagles team.
If the Steelers take care of business this week against Cleveland, the lead into the Eagles game next week with what they've accomplished, it's going to be off the chain, dude.
Yep.
It's going to be wild.
Mm-hmm.
Texter, actually, about 6 people are using a word that starts with B that we cannot say on the air.
Yeah.
To describe the Cleveland Browns. All right, coming up next, we are joined by Zach Jackson of The Athletic, big-time Cleveland Browns expert, to get the view from the other side. Behind Enemy Lines brought to you by Monster Brewing. All right, Behind Enemy Lines brought to you by Monster Brewing. We look ahead to Steelers and Browns Sunday, 1 p.m., Acrisure Stadium. And Zach Jackson, we've had him on before. He joins us now, Browns and NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at Akron Jackson. Zach, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm just getting older, but I'm good.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Jameis Winston has transformed these Browns from really a disaster offensively to, at the very least, entertaining. Over under 50 passing attempts for our friend Jameis Winston. They threw it 58 times with him against the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, if the weather's good and the Browns are in it, I think it's realistically that's a good number, right? He's been pretty good. Now, the bar is so low that him just taking them from awful to watchable, you're right, is where it's gone, but it's noticeable. And the guy can throw the football. He really can. He just throws it to the other team. So, you know, I give the Browns a chance. Like, look, this whole thing is a disaster, quite obviously, but this is not an awful team. And that's not justifying or making excuses or comparing them really to the other 3-9 teams. That record stinks. But the way this offense is playing and the manpower they still have on defense, you know, a couple mistakes have killed them all year long, and they just have not delivered in many ways. But, like, this is a team that's capable of coming to, I almost said Heinz Field, sorry, and scoring 28 or more points on Sunday. Yeah, no doubt.
Zach, will Kevin Stefanski be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in 2025?
I'm fairly convinced, yes, and I'm fairly convinced that's the right message. Now, going forward, Kevin Stefanski has to show that he can work with whoever's going to be the quarterback, because it failed with Kevin and Baker. The last game was in Pittsburgh. You guys probably remember that. And it obviously failed with Kevin and Deshaun. So whoever, you know, fault that was and what all went into that was awful. And he was forced to stick with Deshaun Watson because, guys, from the first training camp practice, it was clear this guy was beyond awful. And they played him all the way through mid-October, wow, right? But Kevin is a good coach. There's a track record that proves he's a good coach. And, again, this is low bar. This is talking about watchable and bad. But this team has not quit on him. And so in the long search for positives, that stands out. I think he'll be the coach. I think he should be the coach. But let's revisit, maybe as early as Monday morning.
Yeah, and look, we want to talk about the game, but this stuff's fascinating, too, to Steelers fans. Stefanski definitely wants to come back. I guess I'll frame it as a question. And then, like, if Deshaun Watson is healthy, does he have to play next year? Is he the starting quarterback for the Browns?
No, he absolutely has to not play and never be allowed on the field for the Browns.
Okay.
That's how it has to go. So he's under contract for 2 more years. He's on the salary cap for 4 more years. They obviously made this commitment to him that has led to them being completely sunk as an organization again, maybe as sunk as they've ever been. But there's just no way that they can trot him out there. So a lot of layers to it. And then because of that, a lot of layers to decisions they're going to have to make on other guys who are above average players, guys who are established players, guys who are maybe disappointing players. There's so many things they have to decide top down to fit him in, but there's just no way, guys. And I'm not saying that maybe he wouldn't play a little bit if next year's awful. He might still be on the active roster. They're committed to him either way, but there's just so many layers they have to decide. And it has to start with no way could we put our football future in this guy's hands again.
Well, if that's the case, do you anticipate the Browns drafting a quarterback, or does Jameis Winston have an opportunity to get signed back?
Well, how do you have an awful season? You go 3-9 and you still only have the 8th pick in the draft as of today, right? So do I think that's a possibility? Sure. And then obviously the first thing that whoever's in charge has to do is map out the quarterback future. This team has major deficiencies on both lines. And obviously with depth, I mean, you could easily make the case that they could take a defensive tackle, an offensive tackle, or a quarterback. You probably can bring Jameis back, right, and let him at least be your bridge quarterback, maybe with a gamble on that there's still some good Jameis in there. I don't know how that goes, but, yeah, you certainly have to talk about that because 3 years ago when they made this trade, they said, this is the most important position in football. We're willing to give up this unprecedented amount and move along. And so you're not really going anywhere if you don't have one. However, the Browns are probably at least a year from actually going anywhere. So I don't think they necessarily need to take a quarterback with at 5th, 8th, 10th, you know, wherever they end up.
Browns expert Zach Jackson joining us. He, of course, from The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. Before the lead up to the last Browns Steelers game, the snow game, Browns win, Myles Garrett has 3 sacks, TJ Watt a no-show. Did you know how much the TJ Watt stuff was bugging Myles Garrett? Is this something he had talked about off the record before?
Yeah, Miles has become a really good interview. His favorite subject is Miles, you know, and he, but when he's good, you know, his fastball is as good as anybody, right? And he really does wreck games from the start, even when it doesn't show up at stat. And TJ kind of does the same, right? Yeah, I knew a little bit. He picks and chooses his spots when he talks about those things. But especially in this year, he is driven by, you know, wanting people to realize just what he does. There was a game last year right about this time in L.A. He didn't have a great game. He was playing hurt. We're walking out of the stadium, and Sean McVay pulls up in this SUV, driving the car underneath the thing, and says to Myles Garrett, you know, in words I can't say on the radio, basically, I didn't sleep all week because of you. And Myles knows that. And Myles, you know, wants to have these numbers, and he does get juiced up for that. So it's interesting. I expect a big bounce back from T.J. Watt. But, I think Miles could have another multi-sack game, and certainly that's a part of the Browns keeping this close and giving themselves a chance to win it late on Sunday.
Do you think the M.O. of Jim Schwartz in the defense is to get underneath George Pickens' skin in this game Sunday?
Maybe not the M.O., but I bet it's on the board. You know, it's just what they do. And it drives fans here crazy because they just dance like crazy and they're awful. But they talk. Delpit's a talker. Newsom's a talker. Obviously, Newsom and Pickens had the incident. Now, if Newsom is covering Pickens, things have gone really poorly for the Browns. I think it'll mostly be Denzel Ward. But, yeah, no, I look for some designed trash talk and trying to draw 15-yard penalties, trying to force Tomlin into a spot where he has to yank Pickens off the field because, obviously, there's a big drop-off when that happens.
Zach, this is awesome. It always is. We really appreciate you jumping on with us, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
He did not return the kind words.
No.
Just real quick off. You know who's the best of all time at that was John Clayton. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks. Bye. Yeah, bye. R.I.P.
But with R.I.P., he's gone? I'm just kidding. I know. I'm just messing with that one. No, he's goodness. A legend. Total legend. With him.
He's from Pittsburgh, right? Or he was from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he covered Steelers for a long time. Such an old school guy that you would actually hear the phone click on the hangup.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Speaking of trash talk, you ready for this one? This one's great. This will get under Jameis's skin. Here it comes. Buckle up for this. This is great. Jameis Lewiston.
Oh my gosh. Where did you get that? Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, it's like win, but the opposite.
I know what it is. Did you just come up with that? Or did you see that somewhere?
I just came up with it. It was super creative. It was really hard. I was racking my brain all day for trash talk.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's like win, but lose. Jameis Lewiston. Like that one horse. Thanks to Zach Jackson. I didn't think Stefanski wanted to come back, but if they're not going to make him, if they're not going to staple Deshaun Watson to him, then yeah, I mean, you come back. You're under contract. What's funny?
Nothing. Nothing. I mean,
Greg lose some games. You like that one? All right, your phone calls, 412-928-9370 all morning long. Lee Sterling to break down some of the biggest games coming up at 9. We have odds and ends coming your way at 9:35. Up next, we go around the NFL, and there's some juicy stuff out there, Dorn. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. That music, though, means it's time to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh's trusted tire source since 2009. We talk about football with music underneath. Never been done before in the history of radio.
Nope.
Did you see Matt LaFleur get into it with a Lions fan last night before the game?
I did a little bit. What ended up happening?
Lions fan on the field to unfurl the American flag for the national anthem. And that fan started talking junk on LaFleur. And LaFleur got up in his face, and if you read the lips, it's quite easy. He goes, shut the bleep up! Right in his face. Then some of his players had to come out and restrain him. Do you have a problem with that or no?
No.
I think it's unbecoming. I think it's a bad look.
Why?
You're the head coach. What do you care about what some dorky fan with a Megatron jersey thinks? Could have been a Dickerson jersey. That's probably why you don't have a problem with it.
Right.
Big Dickerson fan.
A what?
Big Dickerson fan. By the way, I am so confident that the Steelers will beat the Browns that I scheduled a tweet, Doran, to come out at 4:06 p.m. Sunday afternoon, and it says, More like Jameis lose 10, am I right? 4:06 p.m. That thing's coming out, whether they win or lose. I am so confident they're going to win. You'll see it 4:06 p.m.
Did you consider an overtime component? Because they could go into overtime, and then that's going to look real stupid.
Yeah, I should tweet it out for 4:25. But what's done is done. It's just going to come out. It'll come out middle of the game. It'll be some sort of like thunder snow delay. Yeah. It'll be the beginning of the second half. More like Jameis Luston, am I right?
Luston.
You think Bill Belichick would really take the UNC coach's job?
Yes.
And you think that because he's interviewed?
Yes.
Because why would he waste his time interviewing?
Correct.
There's not a lot of great college jobs out there. And if he's legitimately considering taking a college job, right now there are four Power Four jobs available. At least I think. Purdue, West Virginia, UNC, UCF. I think, and with all due respect to my wonderful alma mater, I think all of those programs are below the talents of the greatest head coach in the history of professional football.
He has to know something that we don't know.
He must really just want to coach, and he's not getting the bites in the NFL.
There's something going on there, something fishy. Like I say, whenever something like that, it has to be in connection to something. That's why I say that Saban would agree to go with him. They'd do it together.
But Saban told my man, the athletic director of West Virginia, that he's not interested in coaching anymore. He told Pat McAfee
being
he's
a head coach, but helping out Bill Belichick is different.
Can you imagine? Just think about
they
this.
They could get all kinds.
Just think about
think
this.
Think how much money those two guys could get in NIL, how much money those guys could raise, and how many kids would want to go play for those two in college. Everybody would want to go there.
Maybe the opposite.
No, everybody would want to go there.
No, you're right. But,
everybody.
But, just, this doesn't, there's, no, this doesn't pass the smell test. It's a chilly November day at Acrisure Stadium. The 6-3 Pitt Panthers welcoming the 9-0 North Carolina Tar Heels with head coach Bill Belichick coordinated defensively by Nick Saban. No way. No.
It's happened before.
What do you mean it's happened before?
You said Butch Davis has done it.
Yeah, Butch Davis ain't Dave Bill Belichick. He ain't Bill either, and Dave's a great coach and just a tremendous man.
I'm just saying.
Outstanding mustache, but he ain't that guy.
We get into Bernie's mustache.
What do they? What is people call him, like a flavor saver, the mustache?
I don't know.
You ever heard that one? No. A little flavor saver? Get something in your stash. You get seconds. A little Thanksgiving Day gravy. Just get that tongue up there. It doesn't sound right to me.
It sounds right to me.
The Bill Belichick North Carolina Tar Heels.
And the baby blue with his baby blue, like, cut off sleeves. What? It sounds good. I could see something fishy is up with this situation.
Like, Bill Belichick gonna coach against Brent Key at Georgia Tech? It just feels weird to me. It just does. If he coached Ohio State, I could see it. I could see. Like, I would come back for Ohio State. You got all the resources in the world. If Bill Belichick took over this Ohio State roster, they win the national championship.
Yeah, but he'd have to answer to people he doesn't want to.
He ain't answering to no one.
He's not answering no one in North Carolina. He's answering to some people, donors, high level, at Ohio State.
I don't know.
He doesn't
want
to do that.
I don't know that.
And I don't even know if he wants all those resources. I think he wants to show that he could do it with the minimal resources in Nick Saban.
Well, then, can I offer you a job, my friend? Hey, Bill, you ever driven down 79 in the fall time? It's beautiful. Morgantown, West Virginia. You ever tried Tudor's Biscuit World? You ever had a pepperoni roll? You ever dipped your toes in the water at Cheat Lake? If you really want limited resources in a state with only 1.8 million people, I got the job for you, Bill.
What if he does interview for West Virginia?
I'll have to take the whole week off. I won't be able to focus
that
on anything else
ridiculous.
In my entire life. I would laugh.
I'd quit. Well, you'd be unbearable if Bill Belichick was the coach.
I think we can all agree that's not going to happen.
Why?
But if he interviews there, I would be beside myself.
Why wouldn't he? If he's going to interview at North Carolina, why wouldn't he interview there? It's probably next, unless they don't let him leave. If he's that serious of being a college coach, he's going to interview
don't
other
do
places.
Don't do that. Don't do this
I'm
to
just
me.
Saying.
Don't do this to me.
I texted you.
Did you?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
You are running the risk. We only have an hour and 5 minutes left in the radio show. You are running the risk of me not paying attention for any single second of it.
I'm just being, you know, I'm every day I come in here and I'm.
Come on, Bill. Come on down. Honest. It's almost heaven, Bill. It's West by God, Virginia.
It's on the radar.
A lot of beautiful women down there. We know how you like the 20-year-old women, Bill. Come on down.
Just saying.
I'll open up my house to you, Bill. I'll drive you down there. I'll be your chauffeur. Our coaches generally need one. All right. Coming up next, Lee Sterling to continue going around the NFL and college football. Big, big, big weekend for Penn State. Big weekend with all these conference championships. Week 14 in the NFL. Lee will give us his best bets. Of course, Lee from ParamountSports.com. And we got odds and ends with Doran Dickerson coming up. What's with this happening again? A little false start there, Callis.
I didn't do that, I swear.
Oh. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. Today, high of 31.